Our Bible study today takes us into chapter 24 of the book of Genesis. Now this is one of the most charming chapters in the whole Bible. It gives us the record of how, at the command of his master, the unnamed servant went forth to seek a bride for his master's son. And his master's son, you will remember, had figuratively died and had risen again from the place of death, as recorded in chapter 22, and if you read that in association with Hebrews chapter 11. In figure, he died and rose again. Chapter 24, he's going to be introduced to his bride. Just before we consider some of the things in the chapter, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, again we come to Thee, approaching Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we know of no other way of approach. We remember He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. So we come to Thee in the name of Thy beloved Son, asking that Thou wilt exalt Him today, and grant that by the proclamation of truth, Thy people who are listening shall be edified. And we pray, O God, that in this area, if some are listening who don't know the Savior, this may be the day when they'll come to know Him and trust Him. Hear us now in these things, as we give thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. I remind you again that this is a delightful chapter, Genesis 24, and if you have your Bible handy and you look, you'll notice it's quite a lengthy chapter, 67 verses in this chapter. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 23, which had to do with the death and burial of Sarah, you will notice that there were only 20 verses in that chapter. Now, in our chapter today, we have 67 verses. Now, there are four outstanding things that I may draw your attention to throughout this chapter, and I trust that you will study them at home if I give you some guidelines. In the first 9 verses, we are introduced to what I term the desire of the Father. In verses 10 through 49, that's a rather lengthy portion, you have the delight of the servant. Verses 50 through 60, you have the decision of the bride. And verses 61 through 67, the devotion of the son. Now, if you'll kindly remember these four things and keep them before you as you read through the chapter, it will make it very interesting. Let us look at the opening verses then that deal with the desire of the father. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abram said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. Here I suggest to you then, there is presented to us the desire of the Father. In this connection, notice it was at a particular crisis. And when that crisis came, there was a measure of concern with Abraham. In chapter 23, Sarah had died. Now in chapter 24, we're told that Abraham was old, well stricken in age. So therefore, if Sarah was dead, Abraham was old, Isaac had no wife and no posterity. Again, Abraham's thoughts are going towards the promises of God. When Abraham thought of these things before, you remember, he spoke to God about the need for having a son or a seed, and God promised him Isaac. But now Isaac is growing older, and Isaac has no wife and no children, and Abraham is getting old. And so therefore I suggest it was a time of crisis in the life of Abraham, old and well stricken in age. Now he's thinking in terms of the promises to his posterity. And he takes, as it were, his servant aside and gives to him the precautionary charge. This was twofold. First, no association with the heathen Canaanites. These were the descendants of Ham. And according to verse 3, he says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my sons of the daughters of the Canaanites amongst whom I dwell. So therefore, there was this negative side. Don't take a wife for my son from amongst these people. The second, the son must not be compromised to the level of the old life. That is, he was not to take him back to the place from which God had brought Abraham. So therefore, the divine standards must never be lowered to accommodate the scruples of those to whom they are presented. See, when God lays down certain standards, you and I must bow to these standards. We may not understand them, but whether we understand them or not is not the matter in question. If God puts certain standards before us, it is ours to obey. So therefore, he gives the precautionary charge to the servant. And then there is the positive commission. This commission was based on a knowledge of God's actions in the past, and with confidence in God's promise for the future, Abraham was enabled to send out his servant knowing, with absolute assurance, that God would guide them in the present. I think that's a wonderful attitude for any of us to take up. Thinking of what God has done in the past, confident of what God has promised for the future, we can trust God in the present. You can walk with God day by day, thanking Him for the past, trusting Him for all that's to come. You can put your hand in God's hand in any time of crisis and walk with Him. So we have the desire of the Father to have a bride for His Son. If, of course, in this chapter, it is Abraham seeking a bride for Isaac. Nevertheless, may I suggest that he is a beautiful picture of God the Father having the desire for a bride for His Son. And the New Testament tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church. He purchased His church, and one day the church shall be presented to Him as a spotless bride. God's desire for His Son and the Son's desire for Himself is to have the bride by His side. So the first thing we see in this passage, I suggest, is the desire of the Father. But then there's rather a lengthy portion, verses 10 through 49. Here I suggest it is the delight of the servant. It was the delight of the servant to be about his master's business. For verse 10 says, And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now I want you to notice here that he's anxious to do the right thing. And so he gets down and he prays. Verse 12 says, And he said, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now you see, as you consider the delight of the servant, he hastens to be about his master's business. That should be the correct objective of any servant. A servant should be ready to obey his master. It should be a delight for a servant to be about his master's business. This man was commissioned. Now remember, a true servant does not run until he has received his orders. A servant doesn't run to do his own thing. And a servant doesn't do it in his own way. A servant is one who receives his commission. That is, the master gives the orders. And when this servant was commissioned, then he got about his master's business. So let us be quite sure about this, that we don't run before the master gives the orders. And when the master gives the order, then we should be ready to obey. Don't delay, but obey. Then, of course, while he's about the master's business, he prayed. In this, he recognized his dependence upon God. You'll find that from verses 10 through 14. Here is one who is absolutely dependent upon God, and he puts the matter before God. This teaches me a lesson, that every person today who wants to do some service for God should recognize this, that they are absolutely dependent upon God to guide them and help them in the carrying out of God's business. It's holy business. When you work for God, whether it be in a simple way or in a public way. Some folks serve God in a very private manner, nevertheless they're serving God. Others do it in a more public way. But whether it's privately or publicly, we're serving God, we should recognize this, that we are absolutely dependent upon God. When I read from verses 15 through 21, I learn that this servant was guided. He sought definite guidance and obtained it. For instance now, verse 15 says, And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and she came with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher, and so on. Here was a man who was guided. The man who sought definite guidance obtained definite guidance, and that's the way it is done. See, when it comes to the will of God, we should remember that God has a supreme will. Certain things that God has reserved to himself that he has not revealed. So with these things we simply submit, knowing that he's working all things after the counsel of his own will. But God has a revealed will. When you and I go to the Word of God, there we learn what God has revealed, his revealed will. But then there are other times when we have got to submit to God's permissive will. Times when we come to the crossroads, where there's no revelation given in the Word of God as to whether we should turn to the right or turn to the left. things we don't understand. So at that point, you bow the knee and you submit the whole case into the hands of your God and you seek guidance. You know you've got to move either to the right or to the left. And so you ask guidance from God as to the step you should take, believing that God will guide you in that step. He was guided. The man who sought definite guidance obtained it. Then I notice in verses 22 through 28, this servant is marked by worship. See, this man maintained a good balance of service and worship. And that is something that should characterize every person who claims to be a servant of the living God. Verse 22 says, "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, 'Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?' She said unto him, 'I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor.' She said moreover unto him, 'We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in.'" And this is the verse now. "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.'" Here is a man then who is characterized by true worship. So therefore, not only was he obedient to his master, not only did he pray and recognize and acknowledge his dependence upon God, but he was guided. And therefore, when he found guidance from God, he was able to bow the head and bow the heart in true worship. That's a perfect balance. Now the message was clear. He spoke about his master and his master's son. Then he displayed the gifts from his master. Oh, I suggest to you, here was beautiful service that he rendered. As a servant, he spoke about his master and about his master's son. You see, the theme of all preaching today, we must direct men and women to the great God, in the beginning God. And we must tell men and women about God's love and God's righteousness and God's judgment. And we must tell people about God's Son. We can speak not only about our God as the mighty Creator, but we can tell of His grace in sending His Son down to this earth. We can display the things that have to do with our Master. What is the gifts of the Master? Remember this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This man was faithful, and he was successful. He brought back the bride for Isaac. But now, in verses 50 through 60, you have the decision of the bride. The time has come now when the question is put to her. Verse 50 says, "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken.' Came to pass that when Abram's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." Again, notice, he takes time to worship. "And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go.' He said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' They said, 'We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.' And they called Rebekah and said unto her, 'Wilt thou go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" Now I want you to notice this. Here we have the decision of the bride. We have considered the desire of the father desiring a bride for his son. We have considered the delight of the servant as he spoke about his master and his master's son and how he displayed the gifts from his master. Now here we have the decision of the bride. I will go. Notice it was personal, laying the emphasis on the personal pronoun I will go. This decision could not be made by proxy. It was the outcome of a personal faith. My friend, your decision as to whether you take Christ or reject him is your own decision. Your parents can't make that decision for you. It cannot be made by proxy. God waits for your decision. Will you go with this man? She says, I will go. It was very positive, laying the emphasis on the will. I will go. You'll notice this decision was definite. It was deliberate and was clearly understood. I will go. But then it was prospective. I will go. And the question may be asked, go where? She was going to meet the person she had heard about, the person she loved without seeing. Ah, my friend, someday we're going to see him whom having not seen we love. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see him someday. He says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. She was going to obtain the position of the bride of the Son of Promise, who was Isaac. But the believer today is looking forward to being in a position of being presented as the bride to the blessed Son of God, the bride he purchased through his death on Calvary. But she was going to enjoy the possessions, entering into them as Isaac's partner. That's exactly what God has laid up in store for us, that we shall be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, the decision of the bride, I will go. I wonder, can each one of my listeners today take that same position? And in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God's love, and you're invited to be part of that bride, can you say, I will go? Notice the closing part of the chapter. It's the devotion of the son. You remember I said that Isaac was left on the mountaintop, according to the record of chapter 22. Now he's introduced to us here in chapter 24. And he's coming to meet his bride. His meditation in the field. Isaac's time of patient waiting for the bride to arrive is spent in quiet meditation. That is prayer. And suggests that his devotion was Godward first. Then you have his meeting with Rebekah. He meets a woman who is decked with the gifts he already provided for her. And she is veiled to indicate that she is reserved wholly for him. Then you have his marriage and the comfort that followed. Isaac received Rebekah. He loved Rebekah and enriched Rebekah, and he himself was comforted. Who is this who comes to meet me on the desert way, as the morning star foretelling God's unclouded day? He it is who came to win me on the cross of shame. In his glory well I know him, evermore the same. He and I in that bright glory one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, his, that I am there